everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Friday afternoon here on KCRW, at least now it does. I realize that I'm probably talking to quite a few people that have never heard this program before, even though it has aired on KCRW's airwaves for the last 7.5 years. The program began on Friday nights and was late Friday night, and then it got moved earlier to 7:30 on Friday night, stayed there for about 5 years. Then got moved to Sunday nights and got moved earlier and earlier and then got expanded to an hour. And now it's back to half an hour on Friday afternoons. So the people that have heard this show over those many years should bear with me here for a minute because it's time to explain basically what the program is for those people that have never heard it before. Basically what I will be doing every week is going through a fairly extensive collection of comedy recordings and playing half an hour of comedy every week. Sounds simple, and I guess it is, but sometimes I'll do an entire show based on a certain an act. Maybe it'll be Bob Newhart or Woody Allen or Monty Python. I do have a fondness for British humor. A lot of it's very hard to find, and so some of it I don't have, but I have quite a bit of it, and try to make at least one show a month centered around British talent and British humor. Some of the shows are theme shows. I do a show every year on baseball and various holidays and things like that. Other shows are around certain styles, which is what tonight's show is, this afternoon's show is. This was originally scheduled to be the second part of a two-part, two-hour, semi-quasi, pseudo-sort of academic exploration of the history of stand-up comedy, at least as it exists on record. But because of the change in time and the change in length of the program, that sort of got thrown out the window. But we'll sort of stick to that, and I'll just give you an overview of some of the best stand-up stuff that exists on records. Most of these pieces are old classics and are really quite wonderful. And we'll start off with a piece by Bob Newhart, which is appropriate in that we are about to begin baseball season.
I got thinking about baseball. And how games are marketed today. You know, you go to a game manufacturer and they figure everything out and decide whether the game is right for the public or not, and then they market it. And it got me to thinking, supposing Abner Doubleday had called one of the game manufacturers with this new invention of his called baseball. Now, I think a phone conversation would have taken place something like this. Hello, Olympic Games. What can I do for you, Mr. Doubleday? You've got a game. How many couples? 18 people? That's a hell of a lot of people, Mr. Well, the ideal game is, I mean, 2-3 couples, you know, come over to the house, they get a little smashed, and, you know. You can't play it in the house either. See, you got two things right there against you. See? All right. Tell me about it. All right, you got 9 guys on each side. Yeah. And you got a pitcher and a catcher. And they throw this ball back and forth. And that's all there is to it. All right. A guy from the other side stands between them with a bat. I see. And he just watches them. Oh, I see. He swings at it. He may or he may not swing at it. Depending on what? If it looked like it were a ball. What's a ball, Mr. Doubleday? You've got this plate. Uh-huh. And as long as it's above the knees, but below the shoulders... Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm listening. Yeah. It's a strike. Three strikes and you're out. And 3 balls. Not 3 balls. 4 balls. Why 4 balls, Mr. Doubleday? Nobody's ever asked you before. Or he may hit it. If he hits it, what happens? He runs as far as he can. Before somebody catches it. As long as it stays what? As long as it stays fair. And what's fair, Mr. Doubleday? You've got these 2 white lines? Is this a rib? Is this one of the guys in the office? Who is it? Mr. Double A, that's the most complicated game I've ever heard in my life. Forget it. Right. Mr. Double A, listen, though. You come up with anything, two, three couples, you'll be sure and let us know, huh? All right, Mr. Double A, I'll be talking. Come on.
Has this ever happened to any of you? Or will it happen to any of you? On the morning after, the night before.
Oh, God, God. God, God, God. My tongue is asleep. And my teeth itch. Where is my Alka-Seltzer?
Oh, my God, don't fizz.
Don't be mean, Alka-Seltzer. Dissolve. Oh, the hell with it. I'll drink the pieces. Okay. Hail, Moscow. Oh, God. Oh, come on, God, will you? David boy? Hi there, Dave. Dave, I wonder, you think you could whisper? Dave, this is me. It's me. It's me, it's your old buddy. Just a minute, Dave, don't press me. Dave, if you nag at me, you'll never get it. Isn't that ridiculous? I just got a letter this morning. Do I sound familiar at all, Anna? You want to take a stab at a name? I don't know what letter it begins with. It's silly. I mean, I know my own name. I know it as well as I know my... Oh, God. Hang on a second, wait, Dave. I mean, I know the name, really. It's Sam, Dave. I know it is. Oh, Sam. How many Sams you know? Oh, God. Sammy Spiro, Dave. That's who it is, old Sammy Spiro. Well, let's not quibble about pronunciation, Dave. What is it, Spiro? All right, Spiro. I'll settle for that. I don't know, Phil. I don't get it. Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Not so hot, Dave. I'm a little under the weather from last night's party. I have this little headache in my left eye. That's what I call you up to thank you for, that wonderful party you threw last night. Of course, we brought our own liquor, but you provided the electricity, and you should be thanked for that. Tell me, Dave, did I have a good time? No, I don't know, Dave. About a certain point of the evening, everything's a complete blank. A few minutes after I arrived. What did I do? What? Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, boy. Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Dave. The whole window, eh? You just come right out, huh? Yeah, that's a picture window, too, isn't it, Dave?
It's a lucky thing there was nobody walking under it at the time, huh?
Oh. Oh, boy. Got him edgewise, huh? Oh, well, I'll put them back together, Dave. Those medical people are... Gee, Dave, I can't imagine how I managed to break a window. I don't have any cuts or bruises on my hands. How'd I break the window? I think... Were you very fond of that cat? You know, those things are supposed to land on their feet, aren't they, Dad? Poor little fella. How did I do that? Oh, yeah, yeah, I get the picture. Oh, no, no. Gee, I must have been playing some sort of stupid game there or something. What was I doing? I see, and I guess the window was Goliath. Well, gee, Dave, naturally, I'll do my best to repair your window. That's picture window, right? Yeah, well, it'll take a lot of wood. And you'll probably want a new cat, huh, fella? Yeah, well, you know, he's a goner. Dave, Dave, I wish you wouldn't be quite so descriptive about the cat, Dave. I'm not a well man, Dave. Yeah, well, first chance we get, we'll bury it all, and I'm sorry. Dave, I wonder if your mind would change the subject to something a little more pleasant, if you don't mind. Tell me, did your wife enjoy the party? What do you mean, I ought to know? I did not. I did not. Oh, Dave, it was a long, hard party, Dave. The curtain watchers may have gotten tired and stretched out for a bit. Well, I thought it was a pile of clothing, Dave. And Dave, you know how I feel about Myrna. Why, I love your wife. Now, that isn't what I meant, Dave. I mean, I love your wife the same way I love you. That's not what I meant either. I hardly think it's necessary for you to warn me to keep my hands off you, too. What? No, Ken. Right off the hinges, huh? The whole damn door. You think you can get along without it, Dave? That's right. Your bathroom is right off your kitchen. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Dave, when you come right down to it, the only real damage I caused was a broken window and a broken door, right? No, I won't forget the cat, Dave. Thank you very much.
Dave, in the shape I was in, it's lucky the only thing I threw through the window was a cat, huh?
Oh, really? Who? I hope she wasn't angry. That's swell. She always was a pretty good sport, your mother. Listen, Dave, the reason I'm calling, I'm having these business associates in town for the weekend, and I'd like to throw this little shindig on them. You know how small my place is. So I was wondering if I could use your place for a few hours Saturday night. You know what I mean? A few drinks, couple of laughs, you know. Dave? Dave? Come on, boy, pull yourself together over there. Dave, stop that now. I can't bear to hear a man cry. Dave, don't call me that name. It's a reflection on my parents. Now, Dave. Dave.
That was Shelley Berman, and those two pieces, the Bob Newhart, Nobody Will Ever Play Baseball, and Shelley Berman, The Morning After the Night Before, come from probably the two most successful comedy albums of all time, with possible exception of The First Family. Those albums in the 50s, I guess it's early 60s, they came at a time when there were a lot more comedy albums, and for good reason. They were a lot, records were a lot cheaper then, and there wasn't as much comedy on television and on cable and on videotape as there was then, and people would actually buy these things and play them at parties and play them for their friends, and, you know, it was a world which no longer exists. And that's why most of the stuff that I play, unfortunately, comes from those days, because there isn't a lot of stuff that I can play of the current crop of people. There are the Comic Relief albums, and I play those. And occasionally things crop up. But at any rate, let's press on. One other type of show that I forgot to mention is the interview. I don't do too many interviews because I don't really believe in interrupting the flow of comedy for information all that much. But when I do have the opportunity to interview someone of vast stature and who has had a lifelong career that is noteworthy, I sometimes like to get them and talk to them and go through their careers with them and play excerpts from their stuff. And such an occasion actually happened about a year ago with Stan Freberg. And he came down and co-hosted a series of 5 programs, and those will be rebroadcast next month through all of May and the first show in June. Those will be 5 shows, and they really are quite wonderful. Yeah, he was a delightful guy. Probably still is a delightful guy. Anyway, another type of show which I talked about is a theme sort of show, and just to give you an example of the sort of the way things like that might go, here are 2 pieces, also stand-up pieces, by 2 masters of stand-up. One guy, I wonder whatever became of him, Bill Cosby, and then David Steinberg, both having to do with biblical material. So let's start with Bill Cosby.
There's a fellow by the name of Noah, built an ark. Everybody knows he built an ark. He said, what did Noah do? He said, well, he built an ark. But very few people know about the conversation that went on between the Lord and Noah. You see, Noah was in his rec room sawing away. He was making a few things for the home there. He's a good carpenter. Vuba, 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 vuba. Noah. Somebody call? Vuba, vuba, vuba. Noah. Who is that? It's the Lord, Noah. Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good. I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? Get some wood, build it 300 cubits by 80 cubits by 40 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? Let's see, a cubit. I used to know what a cubit was. Well, don't worry about that, Noah. When you get that done, go out into the world, collect all of the animals in the world by twos, male and female, and put them into the ark. Right. Who is this really? What's going on? How come you want me to do all these weird things? I'm going to destroy the world. Right. Am I on candid camera? How you gonna do it? I'm gonna make it rain 4,000 days and drown them right out. Listen to this, you'll save water. Let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights and wait for the sewers to back up.
Right.
Lot. Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Twin Cities, they were called. And every form of evil imaginable took place there. And God looked down, saw that things were bad. Every time God looks down, things are bad. Maybe if he wouldn't look down so much, things would pick up. God said, Lot, leave Sodom and Gomorrah, for their evil has come up before me. And I'm going to destroy these towns in fire and brimstone. But whatever you do, Lot, don't look back. Lot is walking on the outskirts of town. Lot's wife turns to him and says, Lot. What's the matter with you? You should have stayed there. That was fun. Lot continues to walk. She says, Lot. Gotta be aggressive with God. You can't always be passive. Lot continues to walk. She says, Lot. Lot says, dear, God told me to tell you to look back. Moses, when Moses was a little child, he cast off a cherubic light from his face. So his father turned to his mother and said, "Let's take this little child and thrust him into the Nile so that we might have normal lighting in here again." Moses is raised in the palace of the Pharaoh. When he's 30 years old, he goes wandering in the desert, chasing after a sheep. Moses was a prophet, not a pervert. In the distance, he saw a bush that was burning, yet it would not consume itself. A voice came out. Moses. Moses, with the astute bearing of a prophet-to-be, runs to the sheep and looks in its mouth. God says, "Moses, take off your shoes from off of your feet," God says in his redundant way. "Where the land that you are standing upon is holy land." Moses takes his shoes off of his feet, approaches the burning bush, and burns his feet. God goes, "Aha! Third one today." Moses swore. We're not sure what he said. There are many Old Testament scholars who to this day believe it was the first mention of Christ in the Bible. "Moses, go unto the Pharaoh and tell him to let your people go." Moses says, "Who shall I say sent me?" God says, "Whom?" "Whom?" God says, "I am that I am." Moses says, "Thanks for clearing that up." Moses goes unto the Pharaoh, his staff in one hand, his little brother Aaron in the other. "Pharaoh, let my people go." Pharaoh says, "Who sent you?" Moses says, "You're not going to believe this." And the Pharaoh didn't believe him. And so God destroyed all of the land with that mystical sense of humor that is only his. Thank you very much. You've really been delightful. Thank you.
The very first Funny Stuff show that I did featured Woody Allen, and every time I've changed times and had to reintroduce this whole concept, I like to play this piece because I think Woody Allen is about as wonderful a stand-up comedian as there ever was, in addition to his other talents. And people don't realize how good he was as a stand-up, and so I like to remind them with this piece.
I was kidnapped once. I was standing in front of my schoolyard, and a black sedan pulls up. And two guys get out, and they say to me, "Do I want to go away with them to a land where everybody is fairies and elves? And I could have all the comic books I want, and chocolate, and wax lips, you know?" And I said yes, you know? And I got into the car with them, because I figured, you know, what the hell? I was home that weekend from college anyhow, you know? They drive me off, and they send a ransom note to my parents. And my father has bad reading habits, so he gets into bed at night with the ransom note. And he read half of it, you know. And he got drowsy and fell asleep. And then he lent it out, you know. Meanwhile, they take me to New Jersey, bound and gagged. And my parents finally realize that I'm kidnapped. And they snap into action immediately. They rent out my room. The ransom note says for my father to leave $1,000 in a hollow tree in New Jersey. He has no trouble raising $1,000, but he gets a hernia carrying the hollow tree. The FBI surround the house. Throw the kid out, they say. Give us your guns and come out with your hands up. The kidnappers say, we'll throw the kid out, but let us keep our guns and get to our car. The FBI says, throw the kid out. We'll let you get to your car, but give us your guns. The kidnappers say, we'll throw the kid out and let us keep our guns. We don't have to get to our car. The FBI says, keep the kid. The FBI decides to lob in tear gas, but they don't have tear gas. So several of the agents put on the death scene from Camille. Tear-stricken, my abductors give themselves up. They're sentenced to 15 years on a chain gang, and they escape, 12 of them chained together at the ankle, getting by the guards posing as an immense charm bracelet.
I just love that. That's Woody Allen. I think his stand-up stuff is still in print on as a two-record set, which is edited from the original three albums, and fairly well edited. There are only a few problems that I have with that job that they did. I, of course, have the original records, and we'll be playing from them as the weeks go by. Speaking of the weeks going by, next week, Firesign Theater. I'm not exactly sure what form that show's going to take, because, again, it was planned as an hour, and their pieces are all very long. But we'll see. I might try and get Phil Proctor down here to just talk about Firesign Theater. The week after, Marty Feldman with some very rare English recordings that are quite wonderful. And after that, Danny Kaye. And then after that, the 5 weeks of the Stan Freberg show. So you pretty much know what my life is going to be like, at least my radio life, for the next 2 months. I'll spare you all the platitudes about how this is your show, too, because it isn't. It's my show. But if there's something you would like to hear on my show, you can write to me. And the way you do that is sending a letter to Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, at Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And enclose a daytime phone number, any phone number, so I can get a hold of you, because I'm illiterate and I don't write. So other than that, that's going to do it. Next week, Firesign Theater. So until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, returning you to Mitchell Harding and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.